today on Real Radio.
Am I yelling? I am so excited about the fact that God loves us and just the overwhelming truth that we are spiritual creations. We all know this. Let's be honest. Let's face it. If we begin to think about that, then we must come to the conclusion. We certainly will come to some conclusion, but I want you to come to the right conclusion, and that is to return back to your Creator.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called the Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. Pastor Jack continues part one of our biblical worldview and spirituality with our refusal to consider the obvious, that eternal awareness is embedded in all of us because we're created in the image of God Himself. In our fallen state, we are constantly searching for a way to get back up that ladder, if you will. And that's why spirituality and spiritualism is bigger than ever. Pastor Jack further warns us of the danger of following doctrinal error and to always make sure that we're on the right path, the path that's heading toward eternal life with Jesus Christ. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Being spiritual doesn't mean you're saved. Not at all. It just simply proves that you are a creature created by God in His image. You are man and not an animal. In the proper environment, you and I flourish and develop just as we were created. In the improper or an improper environment, you and I can become a tragic opposite of being a blessing. We can either represent God in this life and His nature, or we choose to do the other. Listen to this. C.S. Lewis points out the difference between man and his created surroundings. The argument is somewhat like this. If a hamster were to be good or bad, how good or bad could that hamster be? Have you ever had a hamster? Raise your hand if you had a hamster. How good or how bad could your hamster be? How bad is a hamster? How do you know if the hamster's being bad or good? That's C.S. Lewis's point. Answer, what a stupid thing to say, Pastor Jack. This is dumb. Why are you talking about hamsters? Exactly the point. A hamster, because of where it's at, you can't tell if it's good or bad. Why? It's a hamster. If a dog were good or bad, how good or bad could that dog be? Now, we all have a little comment about that. Because we either have the best dog in the world at our home waiting for us to get home, who, when we do get home, will greet us like we've been gone for 1,000 years. Or we have a bad dog. How bad can a bad dog be? Listen to you. You're proving C.S. Lewis's points. A dog can be pretty good, and a dog can be pretty bad. Compare that to a hamster. Right? Listen to this. If you were an angel, how good or how bad can an angel be? An angel can be as good as Michael, the archangel of God. An angel can be as bad as Lucifer, Satan himself. So do you see that by the existence, the purpose, when you begin to look at the level of God's creation. Let me ask you this now. And I put this in a specific order. You might be thinking, you did this out of order. No, hamster, dog, angel. Final argument. How good can a human be? How bad can a human be? Why did I put it in that order? Because the Bible tells us that in the end, we will judge angels. Angels were not created in the image of God. Angels cannot be saved. They cannot be redeemed. The angels that have fallen are lost for all time and eternity. Whatever angels are, they do not represent the image of God. Who does? You do. Is that wild? The Bible says that God made us a little lower than the angels, but in the end, we will be exalted above them. The Bible even says we will judge them someday. You say, how in the world is that going to happen? I have no idea. Apparently, after we die, we get real smart real quick. Humankind has fallen from our original peak, from our original creation. We've been swayed, the Bible says, influenced and held captive by evil. It's interesting. People will argue that we need to abolish guns because guns kill. Or we need to do away with oil because it just makes certain people rich. Or we need to stop this or stop that because of, and they'll give their argument. Did you know a gun has never killed one person on the planet? Oil, having it or not, is neither here nor there, neither are riches. Did you know that? There's nothing evil about guns or money. It becomes a tool of an evil person for good or for bad in the hands of a right person. Interesting, huh? So I can't believe you said that. We should outlaw all guns. Okay, hello. Who obeys the laws? Come on. Good people. Do bad people obey the laws? Do bad guys obey the laws? No. So if you have a law to take away your gun, for example, to protect yourself against the bad guy, you hand in your gun because you're a good guy. The bad guy never hands in his gun. Why? He's a bad guy. So the bad guys have the guns. Guns don't kill anybody. It's the person behind it. What's your argument? It's this. It's the heart. We can talk about our spirituality, but have we had a radical transformation of our soul? Have we encountered Jesus Christ? In our pursuit of spirituality, have we got Bible knowledge? Have we got some sort of exposure to spiritual things? Read Hebrews chapter 6. It's terrifying. Read the Gospels again. There can be those who even do miracles in the name of Jesus who the Bible says never make it to heaven. Were they spiritual? Yes. Were they saved? No. Wow. Very critical, serious issue. Here's the good news. The good news is you tonight, if you're not a Christian, I already know on behalf of the Bible announcing to you, the Bible says you're a spiritual person already. I already know that. But listen, I want to introduce you to Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross for your sins, the one who loves you. The Bible says in Colossians 1, he's your creator. Did you know that? The little lamb, Mary's little lamb born in Bethlehem, was God come to earth in human skin, your creator. And there's good news. He wants to possess you to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, am I yelling? I am so excited about the fact that God loves us and just the overwhelming truth that we are spiritual creations. We all know this. Let's be honest. Let's face it. If we begin to think about that, then we must come to the conclusion. We certainly will come to some conclusion, but I want you to come to the right conclusion. And that is to return back to your creator. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, the Bible says, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You are a spiritual created being. That's awesome. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That means don't start getting feelings for an unbeliever. Because some of you have told me before, oh my goodness, I'm a Christian now and I work for non-believers, should I quit? The Bible says don't be unequally yoked. That's not what it means. Don't date a non-believer because you'll eventually fall in love with the person you date. And then you'll eventually marry an unbeliever. And then 6 months later, you're in our office saying, how did this happen? The Bible says don't get hooked up with an unbeliever. It's a big deal. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? That's awesome. That's just scientifically awesome. And what accord or union has Christ with Belial, Satan? That's one of his names. Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And all God's people said,
amen.
That is an awesome truth. What a glorious thing that is. Warning number two, our biblical worldview and spirituality, warning is this, refusing to consider the obvious. We need to be careful that we do not refuse considering the obvious, which is this, eternity and the eternal awareness of a human being, because we are spiritual, comes from the fact that you and I are these created creatures, these created beings in the image of God. And listen to this. You and I today, listen, you and I today are very sad and distant emanations. Let me put it this way. I don't want to fall over any of this equipment up here. If this was the point of God, if this was the Garden of Eden, since the fall, you and I, the world, the universe, has been cascading further and further into darkness and sin. Tonight, we are not only further down the universe, as it were, in an astronomical way, but we're further and further from God as the human family goes. Now, I'm talking to Christians tonight, so you understand what I'm saying? The world that is lost tonight is more lost tonight. The hour is late. Christ is coming. Time is running out. It is the most critical time right now, more than ever. And the next hour, you'll be 1 hour closer to the most critical moment of all time and eternity. And an hour after that, you'll be still yet an hour closer to the end of all things for you. And then eternity comes. The obvious is the fact that when we refuse to consider all that God is showing us, we may be very spiritual people in our worldview. But if we have the wrong view of the personage of Christ, of Jesus Christ, we're in deep trouble. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that God has put eternity in our hearts. Did you know that? And I just love to think about that. God has put eternity in our hearts. Every one of us, if we're intellectually honest, must say that's true. Meaning this, we all think about eternity. Charles Darwin thought about eternity. Adolf Hitler thought about eternity. You name them, they've thought about eternity. What kind of a fool tonight would fold their arms and say, this is ridiculous, this is silly, this is stupid, I don't need this, this is that, no way. Then let me ask you, why is it that you are haunted by the thought of eternity? Refusing to acknowledge or to consider the obvious. Remember, the Bible says in Acts 17:16, we read it a moment ago, that Paul was provoked when he saw the lostness of that culture in Greece. What a heartbreak. This issue of eternity, he argued that with them. He said that this is the one in him you live and move and have your being. That's eternity talk, my friend. The issue of eternity demands caution. Why? Because there's a demonic, satanic, empowered, non-human world at work. We come to church, we leave church. We listen to sermons, we read good Christian books. How often do we ever talk about, think about the reality of spiritual darkness and wickedness? And the Bible says it's all around us. Did you know that? Did you know that the Bible teaches that when we open up the Bible, when we open up the Word of God, the Bible says that angels desire to look into the things that we talk about, that we discuss. Isn't that weird? So think about that for a moment. There's angels sitting over there on the camera. Angels sitting over there, sitting on the speakers up there. Angels sit. They can do anything. They're in a different realm than we are. I could be wiping or passing my hands through a couple angels right now. Think of that. You see, now you're talking because I'm really into angels. Right? This is a big deal. The worship of angels. Well, doesn't the Bible say that we have a guardian angel? It says it in two places. The book of Matthew and the book of Hebrews says that there are angels that are deployed to the heirs of salvation. Did you know that? And the Bible also says that for those who are under Christ's care. And the reason why I put it that way, it's not only the saved, but the little children. The Bible says that before the throne of God, angels represent the face of a little child. Can you imagine someone who abuses a child? That angel, can you imagine? Can you imagine I can't imagine. That's what's so awesome about our God and his amazing works. Imagine an angel who's been, an angel has said, okay, when this kid is under your jurisdiction, and there's somebody abusing that child, and God, for whatever reasons, in God's infinite wisdom, that child is abused, and that, can you imagine if the spiritual world could be peeled back for a second, there's an angel with, I believe, a dripping, blazing, hot sword within a half inch of that freak's neck that's abusing that child. And I'm telling you, if I was that angel, I would just take it off right then and there. Imagine that. Angels. Demons, the Bible tells us and teaches us about. Fallen angels, demonic activity. We don't have the time to go in it right now, but I believe the Bible teaches a clear difference between fallen angels and demonic spirits. They don't get me wrong, they're on the same team. They work together. They have their jobs. But there's an order to the demonic realm. And listen, they are ordered. One of the most amazing reads that a Christian should someday do is most remarkable. Again, C.S. Lewis and his genius produces the book, The Screwtape Letters, and you ought to read them. It's somewhat comical, but kind of scary at the same time. Because how in his brilliance C.S. Lewis goes inside of the mind of two demons working in this world. And you ought to read the books, or the book. It's a little tiny book, The Screwtape Letters. You ought to read it. Why? That book unfolds a true biblical argument in that demonic satanic activity in the realm of spirituality is out to deceive. Did you know that? That's their game, to deceive. And we are suckers for this. And the person tonight who says, well, I'm not so much of a sucker, has been the suckered one the most. There's only one guardian against being demonically deceived in this world, and it is this in your heart. The Bible, listen, the Bible is like, I don't even know how to say it, it is like a nuclear arsenal in the realm of the spirit. The Bible. Little Bible, or the Bible misappropriated, misapplied. You can have a lot of Bible knowledge, but that could lead to destruction. Does the Bible, which is all power, is it at work in your life with all humility? The Bible will be at work with all power in a vessel, in a Christian that is submitted to the Lordship of Christ. This is a very serious issue. I find it extremely interesting, though, when we talk about these spiritual dark powers, that Satan desires nothing more than to be a god or to be God himself. You've read your Bibles, haven't you? And you know what's amazing to me? His lust for attention, to be seen. You guys, listen. Anytime we have a lust to have attention, to be seen, to be heard, to be put on the milk carton or the billboard, I mean, whatever. Oh, look. We have to really watch this, you guys, because it comes from our fallen nature. And all of us have this, but we have to kill it. For example, if we took a group picture right now of all of you, who are you going to look for first when you see the picture printed? You're going to look for you. Isn't that interesting? Why? Because why not? It's me I'm thinking about. That's our problem. It's pretty amazing. Satan can't get himself out of his mind. He's a legend in his own mind constantly. Listen, the Bible says he's the father of lies. You know what happens when you lie enough? You begin to believe the lie until you really do think that fish was 17 feet long, even though your boat was 5 feet. You told the story so many times that minnow is now 17 feet. That's the part of the demonic deception. And lying is a spiritual issue. It's the realm of demonic powers. And you think about it. Satan's lust for attention, for power, for control is so big that when he exercised it, he was booted out of heaven. Then he shows up in the Garden of Eden, and what is his number one sales tactic? He shows up and he speaks to Eve and he says, listen, mark this down. Two main things, everything else comes from this. Number one thing is doubt. He comes to Eve and he sows doubt in Eve's mind. Doubt. Charles Spurgeon says doubt is having faith in the devil. Doubt. He comes and says, hey, has God said you can't eat of this fruit? And God says you can't eat of this. And he says, oh, hath God said that? Is that really what God said? Let me ask you, Christian, does your Bible really say? For example, SB 48, this law that's now against your children, did you know that there is a training session, and you can read it online, I just saw it yesterday, for California school teachers, and it literally says that you say this in light of or to combat what the Bible says. It says Bible. Wow. See, what are you laughing about? Because it is a war of spiritual powers. And we're in it. I mean, some of you are in it. Some of you are like going, what? What war? Where? There's arrows going all over you and you, what? It's like Forrest Gump in Battle, you know. Or Barney Fife. A lot of Christians like Barney Fife. I'll get him, Andy! You know, it's like, there's no bullets in his gun. We're at war, man. Spiritual powers. Even our meanest enemy that's attacking us on the web or on TV or whatever in the schoolyard or whatever. You know what? It's not them. Don't hate them. Don't hate the person that wants to debate you and says all kinds of mean things about you. They don't know. They don't know the battle we're in. They don't know the battle they're in. Demonic powers are behind them. This is a big deal. Revelation chapter 12, verse 3 says, and another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. All of those we've studied in the past with great meaning. Awesome. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. A third, the whole statement means angelic forces. Angelic, one third, we don't know how many that is, one third of the angels of heaven were deceived by Satan. So don't tell me that you are strong enough to take on that old devil. I rebuke the devil. Have you ever seen people do that? Nowhere in my Bible does it say to do that. I command you, Satan. You don't do that. Did you know that? You say, doesn't the Bible say that somewhere? Nope. The Bible says, Lord, you rebuke him. Lord, you cast him out. Lord, you destroy him or you remove him. Lord, you, we don't do that.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Our Biblical Worldview and Spirituality. Thanks for listening. Today's lesson was just one in a series called the Worldview Series. It's a series that looks at worldview issues through a biblical lens and will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. You know, one of the more, shall we say, awkward moments when sharing our faith is simply getting that conversation started, just breaking the ice. Wouldn't you agree with that? Well, here's one way. Tell a friend about Real Radio and Real Life with Jack Hibbs. If you've got the Real Life smartphone app, maybe you can show that to your friend. And if you don't have it yet, don't forget, it is a free download. Just go to your app store and look for the Real Life app. If your friend is already a believer, direct them to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, should you ever need it, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.